You were telling about that happiest day in field day. You were going to the big city, yes, and seeing the games and what else?
And see the games. And I tell you what, they used to sell these hot dogs for 5 cents. My father bought us hot dogs, and we had the best time eating. And something else to share, popcorn and all that. And with my little friends, a lot of us went, all my little school friends. And seemed like I enjoyed myself so that day. I didn't want to come home. And when we were getting on the train here, I was so anxious to get on the train, I ran by the motorman. He was standing there taking out the tickets. And they had to go and get me. Say, where is she going? She didn't pay nothing. I tried to get in there and get me a seat. So finally they got my ticket. I had my ticket all right, but I forgot to give it to the man. I didn't know. I was so overjoyed. So I took my seat. They came and they got the ticket. And we got there. Now, my father went with us, and I was principal of the school, and all gangos. We had a whole coach full of children. And they started playing and everything. We took part in the plays and the little races they had for children and different little things. I can't remember everything now, but we played. And we played so, I believe we was almost out of breath. We played so hard. And that was one of the biggest moments I can ever remember having when I was small.
Do you remember your age?
I was, I guess, around, I said 14. I wasn't that old. I might have been 11 or 12, somewhere along in there.
More that age, 11
yeah,
or 12.
More right around that age than any other.
But that was an exciting time for
yes,
you.
Yes, yes. My father had a good time, too.
Did he? Oh,
that's
nice.
Laugh and laugh and say, we won the prize. We had some banners made with different pictures on it and all, Pendleton School and all that stuff. And we came back, they said, who won? My father had all the banners. He said, we won. You see these banners? We won. I don't know what kind of prize we got, but they say we had the best banners of any of the schools there. I don't know who made them and where they came from or nothing. I guess my principal had them made. And anyway, they said it was the best. And I don't remember any other real exciting day.
That's a pretty good one, though.
Yes.
Do you remember when you were a child how you felt about being black, or did you have any feelings that way that you can remember?
Well, I told somebody, I don't know who now, that after I got up some size and learned how different it was, I told somebody, she was asking me a question. I said, is a white woman asking me this question? And I said, sometimes I hated I was black. I said, I thought that's the way we had to be treated. But after I got old, I was quite young then, but I thought that's how we had to be treated. But I got over that after I got used to people. Because I saw just as many good white ones to blacks as it was, bad ones. But they were good, even back in slavery. It wasn't for the good ones. I don't know what would have happened.
What about, how did you feel about whites themselves when you were little, or do you remember?
Baba?
When you were small, did you have any particular feelings about white people?
Or did No, I never did hate anybody. I just couldn't do it. I just, because I wouldn't get involved. A lot of people, you know, after they found that out, they'd like to picket people and try to pick up a fight or
right,
do something like that. But I never had that to do. And even going to school, to my own school, children used to get in fights there. Used to have big fights. Boys and girls used to fight. I've never gotten in a fight at a school with nobody. My sister had, my brothers did. But I don't know what kind of person. I was just a shy person. I just wouldn't even get involved. Wouldn't get in there to get in, wouldn't say nothing to make them mad to fight. I used to fight at school like cats and dogs sometimes. Boys used to throw rocks at each other.
Ouch.
Hit them in the head. One time a boy threw a rock. He wasn't throwing at my brother. My brother was little then. And it missed him and hit my brother in the head.
Oh, gee.
Oh, that boy head swole up so big. I was teacher cabin in there and put him on the bench there where we had to sit and put something over him and laid him. We thought he was going to die. Fighting. I don't know what they're fighting over. I think you're playing ball and they think one side is cheating. That was one way they could stop fighting. And the girls would fight, too.
This was mostly blacks fighting blacks.
Right? Yeah, that's what it was.
This is all
that's right,
fighting each other.
Yes. Yeah.
Just getting in fights. Mm-hmm. These sound like child
yeah,
fights. Kind of things everybody did.
I believe it. But I told somebody I never got in a fight with a child or dispute or mad and hate anybody when I was going to school all my days. I can't stand it even till now.
No, I don't fight either. try to talk if I can.
No.
Okay. Ms. Alexander, you said you wanted to tell me something about when you moved here, the house? You were telling me, Ms. Alexander, about moving?
Yeah, when we first moved here, in that two-story house it was, great big pillars of rocks was the pillar of rocks. Way up, it was high. We could almost walk under the house, it was up so high. And when the wind would blow, that house would rock. I would be so scared. We slept upstairs, my father slept downstairs. But the boy's room was on one side and the girl's room on the other side, and he slept downstairs. And when that house went down, I was so glad. I wouldn't have told my father that for nothing. I was so glad, I didn't know what to do. I said, ooh, I won't be scared no more. But I don't know why they didn't put something under there to strengthen that house, because it would just rock when the wind would. If that house had been standing when that tornado went through here, we wouldn't have had no home.
Oh, gee.
And the name of that house, they call it the Old Hasty House. Mm-hmm. We call that the Hasty Place. All over that hill was Hasty Hill. Mm. That was the name, I guess, the people years ago owned it.
The Hasty.
Hasty. But so many people had lived in it and moved before we lived here.
Right.
I believe we were the last ones. I know we were, because we lived here until it burnt down. Then my father built the small house.
The small one.
Right in the same place that other one was. And he had a lot of help. That organization he belonged to, the Odd Fellows, all those men came and gave him a day or two work. And that's the way they built it.
Mm.
He didn't have to pay nobody to build no house. Because he knew carpenter work himself, and they just helped him. And they built this house for himself.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I want to tell you about.
Right. Do you have any other memories like that, or any other memories of anything special?
I know about this cave down here. I don't know whether you want to hear about that or not.
Well, tell me about the cave. We'll see. What is it?
They moved the road. The road used to be over there in those woods.
Uh-huh.
And it began cave, and they had to move the road up here.
Oh.
And it wasn't but a small cave when it started. And when it rained, we used to hear that earth leaving, just going down, caving off. See, we didn't have no mare here, wasn't nothing. They could have stopped that thing when it was a little cold, but they did not. And that road leads out behind those houses over there on the other side of the street. That cave is back there, but they filled it up now.
Oh.
And it leads straight on out across this new highway. I call this new. Went on across it, on around, down across that creek. And they changed and put the road up here, and it changed the road out there to get to those woods and went through those woods. That's the new road. And went across, built another bridge and went across it.
Mm.
If I had my eyesight, I could care some of these people. They ought to know about it, some of these elder people.
Yeah.
About this road and where it used to be. I know where the second one was, and I know where this is the third one. That cave is the first one. I don't know nothing about it, because it was cave when we moved over there. People had quit traveling it.
Was it already covered up when you were little, or after you were grown?
No, it was there when we moved here.
It was there when you moved here.
But it wasn't so big.
When it gradually got bigger.
Gradually got bigger and bigger. And you know what people were doing? Just putting garbage down there. Putting garbage.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you know, we had to swim bloody seas to get that thing filled up. We had to write Columbia. We told this mayor and everybody and the other man, the head man about the place. They didn't do nothing. We had to write Columbia. And them men came up here, and they looked at that thing, and they started doing something about it. That cave could have been taken care of long, long ago, but we just had to suffer it, or that thing would have been all up in here by now.
Right. About how long ago was it fixed? Do you remember? Were you grown when it was fixed?
Oh, yeah. Grown, because we moved here when I was about seven years old. And it was there then, but it wasn't nothing like it was later years, but it just kept caving.
Right.
So they stopped them from putting garbage in there, and they went putting trash. They got ice boxes, stoves, trees, everything you could think of was down there in that cave. Then they put dirt and stuff all over it, and packed it. I guess it's still standing all right.
Sure. No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, then there's another one that's there on another type of town. I don't know what they're doing about it. It's not that big.
Right.
Yes. So that's the story of that. But other than that, I don't know nothing much. But
okay, I just want to make sure there wasn't some other story. There's one more thing I wanted to ask you. If you could have changed one thing about your life, Mrs. Alexander, do you know what it would be?
Yes.
Okay,
God, give me some eyesight.
Oh, I should have guessed that.
If I could get somebody to live with me, that would be a good thing. I'd be happy then. But I can't get none of my... I want some of my relatives.
Mm-hmm.
My niece in New York promised she was coming. She's young. She don't want to give up a job and all like that. I say, honey, a life is better than any job you had. I say, let me tell you what I did. When you all was little and your mother went to the hospital and stayed 7 years, I gave up the best job I'd ever had. That was in Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm.
And I came here and I took care of y'all. Now, I could have said, oh, no, my job. I can't leave my job. I left that job and didn't know where I was going to get nothing from. And I came here and took care of them children for 7 years.
Mm.
Well, I got me a job while I was here up here to Clemson.
Mm.
And but now she's young, all right, but I don't care how young she is. She can give up that job and come here and live with me. I say, you can get work there if you just have to work.
Mm.
She could get something to do here. Well, she have an application in around here at a lot of places. And if she can get a job here, she said she'd come. I said, honey, I wouldn't wait on that. You get the job before you get the job. You get the job after you get here. If it's God intend for you to get it. And I had too many dreams about my father since he been dead.
You have.
He told me to come home because he knew these children needed somebody. Mm-hmm. He told me, I've got it wrong. I'm going to tell you what happened. My oldest sister used to tell me, say, do you ever dream about Papa? I said, honey, I dream about him every year. Do you? No, I just can't dream about him. And my youngest sister, I can't dream about him either. I just like to dream to see what I dream about. And I tell him I dream every night, and I tell him what I dream about. And so one night, my oldest sister had her dream, like scared her to death. She said it wasn't a dream. She saw her father.
Oh.
It was a trance, or whatever you call it. She said he was getting out of his grave. Say he had 1 foot out on the ground and the other in the grave. And he had his hand pointing at me. He said, Madeline, you go home. And he said, Shane, they called me Shane. He said, Shane will follow you. That girl said she heard them words just as plain as I was talking. And that girl got up from there and said, let me go home. And she told my sister, they used to come together.
Uh-huh.
She said, Almina, I'm going home such and such a day, the day after tomorrow. She said, well, I thought she was going to wait on me. We're going together. No, no, I'm going now. Didn't tell her why she's going. Left my sister. She didn't wait on her. She got in that on that train and she came home. The children was here by themselves. Margie was in the hospital. And child and children needed somebody here so bad. They had the house so dirty, and I don't know how they dirtied it up in that little length of time. They were small. And my sister came here and she started working, working, working. He told Madeline, she said, you go home, say, Shane will follow. Say, after she leave, I'll be the next one to come. It turned out just like he said it would be.
Mm-hmm.
She came here and stayed about 3 weeks, I believe. She didn't come for about 1 week because she wasn't too well. And she told me all of that. And after she left and told me the condition, then I got ready. I came home.
Mm-hmm.
And I left my good job and I came home. And I've been here ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Took care of them children until Marjorie came out of that hospital. I used to carry them to Columbia. See, their mother was in there for TV. And them children had to be examined every so often. I'd carry them to Anderson. They'd take x-rays of them, and they'd take x-rays of me. Ever so often, they told me what to do. You make them children rest, and you what to give them to eat and everything. They father was living oldest brothers, his children. He was working, but he wasn't half feeding them. He'd buy food, everything, and give out before they could eat it, because it's five of them. They'd give out before the 2 weeks up. And what little money I had saved, I spent every bit on these children, feeding them.
Mm.
So that's what happened to me. And I explained that thing to them children. I said, them jobs don't keep y'all from coming here taking care of me. But this young girl, just as I told you about Barbara, she's trying to get here.
Well, that's good. And the other thing is you wish you had your eyesight back.
Yeah, I wish I had my eyesight back, and I wish I had somebody here living with me. And I'd be the happiest soul ever was.
Was there anything about your early life that you would...
Well, if I had my eyesight, I wouldn't need nobody. What is something about my early life?
Yeah. Said? Anything about your early life that you would have changed?
Oh, I don't know what I'd have changed. Oh, Lord, if I could live my life over, wouldn't I?
Yeah, what would you change if you could live your life over? Let's put that way. Well, everything will mean something.
I wouldn't have married in the first place, or...
Oh, you think you wouldn't have married as young as you were?
No, not then. I wasn't really married. Didn't need no husband. I don't guess I did.
Would you?
You know the reason why we did that? My father was so strict on us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have no boyfriends. And you know, you can't run children away from home doing that, being so strict.
Right.
So that was one of the reasons why I left home. I wasn't caring too much about being married. I just do that to get away from home. I hadn't been nowhere, nothing. And so that was one. I'd change a whole lot of things if I could live over again.
What else would you change?
I'd try to get a little better education. I'd go to school again and try to learn something else, or a trade or something. But I made it as far as I am. I made a living, and every place, every job I had, I was liked.
Good. Well, sounds like you had a pretty full life to me.
Yes.
I want to thank you very much for this interview, and thank you so much for having me in your home.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
I'm really glad I got to know you.
Yeah, my hand's full out there.
Oh.
your home's in Seneca.
Yes, ma'am, it is. Let me just turn the tape off, and we'll talk about me. Just thank you again.
Mm-hmm.